Hello and welcome to our topic today called Love Your Liver Strategies. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm super, super excited to be here to talk to you about something that can make a huge, huge difference in your overall day-to-day health, your energy, your hormone balance, your blood sugar balance, even your digestion. All of these things are related to one very special organ in your body called the liver. So we're going to talk about ways that you can actually give that little liver a little bit of love. And I kind of love this picture that depicts us sending our liver on a beautiful vacation. That to me is the ultimate form of love and giving your liver that nice break and that nice little escape from the day-to-day that it's charged with. So before we jump right in and begin, I want to make sure you're aware that everything that I'm presenting today is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not medical advice. It's simply me sharing from my vast knowledge base, experience base over the last over 30 years of working on restoring my own health and that of tens of thousands of other people, and it's helped me to just really come up with an education-based approach to healthcare. I believe that when you're empowered with the knowledge to take charge of your body and to support your body and nourish your body, then that's when your health booms. So we're going to start out today with a little overview of this lovely little organ called the liver. This just gives you an idea of where it sits in your body. It's on the right-hand side, just below, under the rib cage. And a little bit of it can sometimes tuck its way out from underneath the rib cage, but you see exactly where it is in relationship to the rest of your body. Quite appropriately, it's centrally located, pretty much centrally located in your body because it is the center and the hub of so many important activities. So to give you a little bit more of a close-up of how it relates to some of the other organs, okay, it's right there in the middle or in the midway down from your head to your toes almost. There's the liver, but tucked under it, this little guy here is called the gallbladder. And the gallbladder is this little green kind of oval-shaped thing that's tucked there. It sticks out just a little bit. And one of the things that I was taught in my medical training was in doing an exam on somebody to see if they might have some gallbladder issues is to have them take a deep breath and put your fingers right there under the rib cage and then breathe out and then breathe in to push it down. And if that there's tenderness there, sometimes that indicates some gallbladder irritation. So you can actually feel it come below the ribs on a deep breath. You can see over to the left of it is the stomach, and you see the stomach going down into the duodenum, and you see just a lot of other things going on. The pancreas over to the far left side, and it has a little duct, and all of these organs just dump right into the duodenum, which is right at the beginning part of the small intestine where a lot of your digestion happens. So that's an overview of where it looks like. This is a little bit more detail showing you the underside and all the veins that go in there and the arteries that also come out of there, and then the gallbladder and then the common bile duct, which is where the bile dumps in. And as we talk about one of the roles of the liver in fat digestion, we'll talk about the role of bile and the importance of those bile ducts. And there is the detail you don't need to be concerned about, but I just wanted you to see how amazingly important it is and how complicated it is. So we're going to give you an overview, but this is a really complicated organ. Look at all the blood supplies in there, and then look at these each of these little sections you can see over on the left. I'm going to take my little pointer here and point. This is the lobules, and the lobules are here. So you can see that there's thousands of these guys sitting in there, and each of those is really complex inside, and that's where the magic happens in the liver doing its role in detoxification. So here's some of the functions. I break it up into three main functions. One is the blood filtering. That's the cleansing and detoxification. That's going in and looking at the blood and seeing what metabolic wastes are there, what external toxins, what digestive overload toxins are there, and filtering them out, making them less toxic, and then setting them up for elimination. Most of that elimination is going to go through into the bile, which goes down and out through the stool and the feces. And then some of it gets made water soluble and will be excreted by the kidneys. We need to have all our channels open in order for the liver to be able to do its job appropriately. We need to be able to have the bowels moving. If you've got a great functioning liver, but the bowels are backed up, all those toxins that the liver is setting up to eliminate in the stool, they get reabsorbed and recycled and go back to the liver, and the liver has to detoxify them again. So not having good functioning bowels is going to put a huge strain on your liver. You also have to be able to sweat and pee, so drinking plenty of water is super important, because as the liver filters this stuff, it has to be eliminated. It's eliminated through sweat, it's eliminated through breathing, it's eliminated through the kidneys, and most of it gets eliminated through the stool. The next main function is fat digestion. Those of you who have lost your gallbladders or have had experience with gallstones and getting over that know that it's really important to have a functioning liver and gallbladder system in order to digest fat properly. And after someone has that gallbladder removed, there's a problem with that. So here's the thing. The liver creates bile. Bile is meant to emulsify the fats for breakdown, but it stores it and concentrates it in the gallbladder, so it's only being secreted out when it's needed. When you lose your gallbladder, somebody has a stone and the doctors are knife happy and cut it out, then what happens is the liver can't consolidate the bile, dehydrate the bile, compress the bile so that it's really potent and strong in the gallbladder, so that the bile can then detect, oh, we have fat, let's push it out. Instead, the liver is just making bile, because the bile is its way to get rid of the toxins. So the bile is a dual purpose. It helps the body get rid of toxins, but it also helps to digest fat. So the bile then is just dripping, a constant drip, which means that there's a constant drip of bile, which means it's sometimes people feel a little bit of nauseousness or a little bit of loose stools as a result, or there's not enough bile at the time we need it most because it's just drip feeding down. So that gallbladder serves a very important function to support the liver in its detoxification and fat digestion. And the last, and the one that most people don't acknowledge very much, the last function or category of function is metabolic. And that's the regulation of nutrients. So the liver will store fat-soluble nutrients in there, and it will regulate the release of those as needed. It will also regulate blood sugar. It stores glycogen, which is a storage form of glucose, and it communicates regularly with the pancreas to release and store this glycogen for blood sugar management. So if the liver's not working real well, that could be one of the causes of your blood sugar not maintaining good control, either going too high or going too low even. It also helps to make specific proteins and immune factors. The details of this, we go into great detail of this in our NEPT program, in both the detoxification modules and also in the clinical mastery of the digestive system in the liver. We go into a lot more detail because as practitioners, you need to know some of this. So I'm just giving you guys the overview as the owner's guide to your body. So three main functions: blood filtering, that's your detoxification of metabolic waste and external toxins, fat digestion, producing bile to emulsify those fats so they can get absorbed easily, and then metabolic, the storage, the regulation of nutrients, blood sugar, and then important proteins and immune factors. So super, super, super important. That's why I decided to do this presentation today and call it Love Your Liver. When you can love your liver, you can restore its health. You can treat it well every day. You can support and honor its functions, and you will as a result, be rewarded with more energy, more mental focus, and a lot better health. So let's talk about some of the biggest causes of liver diseases. There's all kinds of liver diseases, and you've probably heard of many. Hepatitis, there's jaundice, there's cirrhosis, there's cancer. There's all sorts of problems that can have with the liver. And most of them are avoidable, guys. Most of them are related to diet and lifestyle factors that you can control. So every time you choose what to put at the end of your fork or spoon and put into your body, or put into your glass and drink, and go into specific environments or put on your body in terms of the hair care products and the skin care products and what you put in the environment in your home, all of those things are impacting your liver. So you get to choose. And that's where I love this whole process of functional medicine and nutrition. So what happens? Too much alcohol. A lot of people drink like it's just good for them, right? Have a glass of wine a day. It's good for your heart or whatever. But they don't think about what it's doing to the liver. And environmental pollutants. We're surrounded by them all the time, guys. And even though it's not just outside, it's inside too. So if you're spraying air fresheners, if you've just painted your home or recarpeted, brought in a new shower curtain, all those sorts of things are impacting your liver. Poor diet, right? Lack of nutrients, too much fat, too much trans fat. We'll go through those details. High fructose corn syrup can lead to fatty liver syndrome. When you're sedentary and have a junk food lifestyle, obviously that's going to affect it. Exposure to viruses like hepatitis A, B, and C. And also parasites can cause problems with the liver. There's things called liver flukes that can be problematic. So all of these things are, most of these things are within your control. And I want you to really be aware that when you make a decision every day to love your liver and put these strategies into place, you're going to see such a change. And the benefit to your health is going to be well worth it. Even if you're having to give up some of your favorite foods, it's worth it to have the benefit of this amazing, just totally amazing diet, life, and body. So let's talk about a couple of the functions of the liver. Fat digestion. Well, fats don't dissolve in water. Have you ever tried like pouring a little olive oil into some water to make salad dressing? It just kind of floats at the top. So we need to emulsify it. And that's what bile does. It emulsifies the fat so that it can be broken down into teeny tiny little particles that gets dispersed into the liquid. Once those fats are emulsified, they need lipase from the pancreas to break them down. So we need bile from the liver to emulsify and then lipase from the pancreas to break it down and get it into the cells. So bile inserts itself between the fat and the water. Think about it if you were to pour olive oil into a jar and you see it sitting on the top of the jar of water, and then you were to put some substance in there that gets in between it and causes it to break down and dissolve into itself. That's what's really important and needed, and that's one of the functions of bile, which is produced by the liver, stored by the gallbladder. And then lipase efficiently breaks them down, but it can't break down big fat globules. So when you take in the avocado and the coconut and the olive oil and other fats that you might be eating, if you don't have enough bile production by the liver because it's congested, or you've had your gallbladder removed and you never get enough of the bile at one point in time, then you're going to have these large fat globules presenting themselves to your lipase enzyme. And it's not going to be broken down. And this is why a lot of folks who've lost their gallbladders will try to improve their fat digestion by taking digestive enzymes containing lipase. But because there's not enough bile, that may not be enough. And those people who've lost their gallbladders sometimes need to take bile acid separately. Well, let's talk about the liver and how it does detox. There's a blood vessel from the digestive tract that goes straight to the liver. That's a relief, I think, because as you're eating these foods and there's toxic waste products being broken down, we don't want that blood to just go dispersed throughout the entire body, do we? So we have the hepatic portal vein and artery that goes from the digestion, or the enteroportal and the enterohepatic is sometimes called veins and arteries that go straight from. So it's an artery that goes straight from the digestive tract into the liver and presents itself. Hi, liver. I just collected some toxins. Can you help me to detoxify this and neutralize these so they don't get into my circulation? And in a healthy person, 98% of that is neutralized by the liver before it gets into circulation. So a little may sneak by, but if you've got a congested liver, if you've been leading an unhealthy lifestyle, or you've been drinking alcohol or taking drugs or taking even prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs, you're going to have a sluggish liver, and this process may not be 98%. It may be a lot less than that. And then the toxins are going to get into circulation and impact your brain, your glands, your hormone production, your immune system, and every part of your body. So the liver detox happens in two phases. One is phase one, which is a real simple process. It basically takes a lot of those toxins and just adds one or two water and maybe one or two other chemicals to it to break it down. The problem is phase one takes a toxin and can sometimes make that toxin twice as toxic before it goes to phase two, which is a more complicated process and makes them water soluble and requires a lot of amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. So phase one, simple, and in most people it works really quickly. And we'll look at some of the reasons why it does. And then phase two is complicated. So if you've got a really good running phase one, in a slow phase two, then you're going to have some problems. And it's especially important to have that both of them running at good speed when you're actually doing a detox program where you're helping your body to release stored toxins, or you're on a weight loss program where you're releasing stored fat, and your fat stores the toxins, and we'll look at that reason why in a bit. So basically, in summary, your liver is a really phenomenal process for detoxifying. Generally, in a healthy person, 98% of everything it's presented with gets neutralized. Phase one is simple, but it produces more toxic byproducts that are supposed to immediately flow into phase two, which is more complicated. Now, phase two can be sluggish because of poor liver function, excess exposure to toxins, or nutrient deficiencies, not enough amino acids, vitamins, minerals, or antioxidants. So let's look at next. This is a picture of the liver. You want to memorize this because we're going to have a test at the end of this presentation, and you must memorize this in order to be healthy. No, just kidding. We have phase one, which has a bunch of enzymes called cytochrome P450. Those of you who may have tested your genes may have seen some of these gene imbalances in these P450 enzymes. That affects phase one. Phase two is the conjugation pathways, also called. And there's, you can see all the different nutrients and everything that's needed for that. So you can, I just put this slide in here to show you that it's complicated. And you will get copies of these slides on the site. So why is phase one working so hard? Well, the things that induce it are the things that people are exposed to on a regular basis if they're not savvy to healthy lifestyle. Alcohol, caffeine, aspirin, Tylenol. How many people do you know that pop these things like they're candy almost? I see people like they're vitamins. Oh yeah, I just have a headache. Let me pop a Tylenol. People come, you know, to my house and they'll have a headache and they'll say, oh, I have a headache. Can you give me a Tylenol and aspirin? I'm like, no. We don't have any of that. Would you like some acupressure? Would you like some herbs? Would you like some magnesium? Would you like me to massage your neck? But sorry, we don't have those things, right? Because we shouldn't be taking them like this because they're constantly inducing phase one and they also slow down phase two. Nicotine, you know, I know you guys don't smoke, but you might know some people who still smoke even in spite of all the health warnings. Other drugs, phenobarbital, steroids, sulfa, those are antibiotics. And doctors are dispensing antibiotics and steroids like they're just candy. Like, here, go ahead. Here's an aspirin. Here's a steroid. Here's a sulfa drug. Just like it's vitamin C. We know better than that. Charbroiled meats, they have heterocyclic amines in them. And these heterocyclic amines, even in very high temperature broiled meats, they don't have to be charbroiled, but even then there's high levels of these chemicals, HCAs, heterocyclic amines. And they are really damaging and to the body. They can be very carcinogenic. They can induce cancer. They can promote the growth of cancer. And the liver needs to be able to detoxify it. Now, I see a lot of genetic reports, and I see that some people are impaired in the genes that help to break down these heterocyclic amines. So this charcoal broiled meat might be inducing the person to need more of that particular cytochrome P450 enzyme, but it's not able to make it because of some genetics. So a lot of things play in to your ability to detoxify and your ability to have a liver that's treated with love and care and respect. And some of it is genetic. But here's the good news. We're going to share with you the strategies that work regardless of the genetics. With the genetics in place that slow this down, you are absolutely going to have to be way more careful. And exhaust fumes also contain that. That would be like if you're standing outside with cars running in the gas station and you're pumping your gas, bad news. Or if you pull your car into the garage and it's an attached garage and you immediately shut the door, those fumes are staying in the garage and can seep under the door. So good idea, a love your liver strategy is to keep your windows cracked a bit and also to keep the garage door open for about 20 minutes after you pull in if you have an attached garage. So phase two is complicated. We go through phase one and then the liver adds another substance to the toxin to make it water soluble and less harmful for safe excretion. This is called the conjugation pathway. And there's several pathways in there. There's glutathione, which is an important antioxidant. There's an amino acid conjugation. There's methylation, which a lot of you have heard a lot about when we talk about genetics. It's in the news all the time. Methylation, as if it's the only process. There's so much more. Sulfation, where sulfur is adding. Acetylation, where acetyl group is added. Glucuronidation, and then glycination. And that's, I just pulled that one out because it's really one of the amino acid conjugations, but it's one of the most important ones, especially in detoxifying a lot of the chemicals in the drugs, a lot of the over-the-counter and the prescription drugs. So what happens if phase one is humming along and phase two gets backed up? Well, we get a buildup of toxic intermediates. As a result, the liver can't keep up with it. It tries to store as much of it as it can into fat to buffer it. Unfortunately, a lot of that ends up getting stored in the myelin sheaths in the brain if the blood-brain barrier is impaired. What can happen, especially happens if someone starts this great detox program and they start to lose weight, but they don't support themselves in other ways to support phase two, then you end up with headaches, sluggishness, brain fog, problems with focus, sometimes achiness or feeling feverish. I liken it to the famous I Love Lucy scene. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and type in I Love Lucy Chocolate Factory. So here's what happens. These gals are given the task of taking the chocolates as they run down the conveyor belt, and they're going to put them in a little piece of paper, put it back on the conveyor belt, and it goes down to the boxers downstream to put them in the boxes. Sounds simple enough. Think of Lucy and Ethel as phase two. The chocolates are coming along, and they are just humming along, and ba-doom-ba-doom, they wrap them. And suddenly, phase one upstream, which is putting the chocolates on the belt, gets faster and faster. And they don't get any faster because they're just working as fast as they can. Well, they have to keep working harder and harder and harder. And finally, they can't keep up. So they take some of the candies and they stuff them in their pockets and they stuff them in their mouth and they stuff them in their hats. That's what your liver is doing when it's stuffing all this extra toxin into your fat storage or into your myelin sheets. It's like, get it. I can't handle it. Put it over here. Put it in the fat. Put it over there. So it's a funny scene. Watch it and think about your liver the next time you watch it. So here's a little summary of phase one. You can speed up phase one, but sometimes you want to slow down phase one. just because you want to give phase two a chance to catch up. So the nutrients on the left-hand side, vitamin C, B vitamins, glutathione, bioflavonoids, and acetylcysteine, magnesium, selenium, iron, choline, and cysteine will speed it up. Now, we need phase one to be working properly, but sometimes we also want to slow down phase one if we're in what's called a pathological detoxification process. So there's a particular chemical in grapefruit called naringenin. And then turmeric, capsaicin, clove oil, quercetin, and calendula can slow down phase one and also improve the speed of phase two. So let's look a little bit more closely at some of the things that slow phase two. If you're going to improve detoxification, sometimes you need to improve the functioning of phase two and slow down the functioning of phase one. So these are the main pathways. Remember, I showed you these earlier: glutathione, amino acid, methylation, sulfation, acetylation, and glucuronidation. So these are some of the things you want to watch out for in your Love Your Liver strategy, is to make sure that you've accounted for these particular things because they slow down phase two. A selenium deficiency. A selenium deficiency also slows down your metabolism overall because of the impact on thyroid function. Vitamin B2 deficiency. So B vitamins are impaired by the consumption of alcohol and the consumption of refined grains and flour products because they've been broken down and been removed. And B2 also impacts blood sugar and brain function. Glutathione deficiency, one of the master antioxidants. And glutathione can be found in sulfur-rich foods. Really good sources, avocado. Zinc deficiency, which is a common deficiency, and zinc-rich foods are all your whole grains and your fresh vegetables, and also sea vegetables. Alcohol, pumpkin seeds are another really good one. And then alcohol and antibiotics. All of these things impair the glutathione conjugation. A low-protein diet or poor protein absorption due to low stomach acid impacts the amino acid conjugation. Methylation, well, a deficiency of methyl folate or vitamin B12, methyl B12. And in folks who have MTHFR genetic SNPs, this is going to be really important to make sure that you're supplanting that. Methyl folate's easy to get in food in your uncooked leafy greens. And B12 is more of a, if you've got that SNP, you want to make sure that you're taking a good methyl B12 supplement. Sulfation, which is adding sulfur to these toxins. Well, things that interfere, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which a lot of people are popping like crazy. In fact, some docs are telling people take baby aspirin every day to prevent heart attacks. Well, that's impairing liver detoxification. Yellow food dye, tartrazine, which is found in a lot of the over-the-counter processed foods, and then molybdenum deficiency. All of these can impair sulfation. Acetylation, vitamin B2, B5, or vitamin C deficiency. So make sure all of your nutrients are up to speed. And then glucuronidation is impaired by aspirin and another drug called probenecid. So let's move on to the next phase, which, how do you support your phase two? How do you put some love into your liver on a daily basis? Well, you can support the glutathione conjugation with all your brassica foods. I make sure that I get at least a couple of cups a day of brassica foods, whether they be broccoli sprouts, kale, arugula, cabbage, etc. So many of them. And then limonene-containing foods. Well, I have people do their little drink in the morning and put a little bit of lemon oil in there, limonene-containing foods. But you can also get it from dill and caraway, and you can use the essential oils of those, or you can actually just put those seeds into your foods. Glucuronidation is your omega-3 rich food, so your chia, hemp, your walnuts, flax seeds, algae, and deep sea fish. You got to be careful with the fish though, because they contain a lot of mercury, and that's going to impair the liver. That especially impairs the methylation pathway. Then we got limonene-containing foods, again, citrus oil and citrus peel. So it could be lemon, it could be tangerine, it could be orange, any of those. The methylation, well, things that are good for those. Brassicas, again, brassicas come out to be the stars. Leafy greens and beets, especially uncooked leafy greens, just supply the methyl folate. sulfation, brassicas again, yay, garlic, onion. So you can see the king of all these foods, the queen of all these foods, is the brassica family. Amino acid is protein, but also supporting your stomach acid. And you really need to have sufficient zinc to make sufficient stomach acid. And you need to be in making sure that you're not taking in substances that impair those cells, like alcohol and caffeine and nicotine. And then amino acid conjugation, and then acetylation. Garlic, onions, soy, berries, grapes, brassicas, all of those support. So you can see that just having a wide variety of foods, the brassicas being king, queen, and a wide variety of colorful plant-based foods is going to help you love your liver. So these I've given you, I'm not going to go through these. It would take me an hour to go through all of these slides, but I've given you these in the presentation slides so that you can refer to them. I basically summarized what methylation gets rid of and what nutrients are required for it. Gave you the same for sulfation, for glucuronidation, for glutathione conjugation, and acetylation. I was feeling really generous this morning with these slides. I found these slides in my deep tissue detox segment of our energy recharge coaching program, and I decided to share them with you because I thought they would be good references, but no time to go through them. So we just have those as references. Here's another list of the Love Your Liver foods, right? We talked about brassicas. I put them right at the top. I talk about citrus peels, caraway, which contains limonene as well. But there's a bunch of other common foods that if you're including these foods on a regular basis, like over the course of your week, you're getting an abundance of all of these foods. You're going to be giving your liver all the love it needs to support you. Here's some of the nutrients, right? And all the foods contain these nutrients. But if you feel like, you know, you're traveling, you're not getting enough of those foods, some of those foods maybe right now because of the state of your digestion, which may need some cleanup, is impaired, that here's some of the nutrients that you can consider. Just again, this is a reference slide. We're not going to go through all of those. But here's some Love Your Liver superfoods that you can include on a regular basis. Chlorella, spirulina, even matcha tea, chlorophyll-containing things. So sometimes you can get a chlorophyll like a drink. I love to take greens, put them in the blender, blend it up with a whole bunch of water and make a very light, pale green water and sip that water throughout the day when I'm doing any kind of cleansing or detoxification. Others, seaweed. I'm a big fan of sea vegetables, kelp, kombu is another word for that. That's the thicker, but I really like the kelp. I get powdered kelp and I add it to a lot of things. I also look at nori and hijiki and arame. There's a lot of sea vegetables. Milk thistle. We have a whole presentation for those of you who are in the Vital Premium and you have access to the 6 years worth of back recordings. We have a whole sea vegetable presentation where you'll get more information. Milk thistle is something you can get as seeds and grind them up and put them into your foods. I did a Liver Lovers Gamaccio on my blog. If you go to drrenamarie.com/blog, you'll see my Liver Lovers Gamaccio there. Burdock root, dandelion. You can do dandelion as tea. Burdock root looks like a carrot in the shape, but then the outside looks like a potato, and you scrub it off a little bit, and then you can slice it thin, you can put it into smoothies, you can saute it, you can put it in salads, etc. Dandelion, you can drink as a tea, or you can eat the leaves. I put them in my smoothies. And then hawthorn berries, which you can actually order as the little berries dried. I've never seen them at the health food stores, but I've seen them in herb shops and also online at places like Mountain Rose Herbs. And you can just soak them in some water and blend them up into your smoothies, and they're really good liver support. So if you start to do these things on a regular basis, you don't have to do all of this every day. That would be impossible. But you're having a variety of foods that you're including on a regular basis. And if you're doing a liver cleanse, if you put together a cleanse, you say, yeah, I need this cleanse, then you can incorporate these into your smoothies or your juices or whatever else you're doing. So let's look at our Love Your Liver general diet and lifestyle support. This is important. Avoid late night snacking and get to bed by midnight, because when you don't, when you go to bed late and you eat late, your body's just churning up digestion and it's not leaving time for the liver. And the liver actually regenerates between 1 and 3 a.m. in a Chinese medicine cycle. So we really want to be in bed like at least an hour before that, if not 2 or 3, to have the body in the state where it's going to be optimally detoxing. And when you snack late at night, it interferes with that cycle. Of course, decrease your toxic load. Clean water, organic food, lots of fiber to bind the toxins and carry them out of the body. Oil change. Like, we eat crappy oils in this society. Did you ever look at some of the ingredients in the processed foods? Or when you go to a restaurant, ask. You don't want to be eating fried foods, oxidized oils, oils that are heated above their temperature. And most of them, it's like 118 degrees. They're destroyed and they're creating oxidative byproducts in your body. And those byproducts are stressing out your liver. When you love your liver, you're going to avoid those foods and you're going to eat good, solid, whole, EFA-rich foods. Hemp and chia and algae and flax and walnuts. I'm a big fan of avoiding oil as much as possible. A little bit of oil here or there, but to actually be doing a lot of oil, that stuff's already oxidized. Let's have whole plant-based foods, plant-based fats. And then protein. It needs to be abundant, but not too high because that puts a strain. And it has to be easy to metabolize. The proteins in a lot of the meat products are hard to metabolize. They take a lot of digestive effort. What I like to do is soaked nuts and seeds. I like to use chlorella and spirulina because they have really easy to digest foods. Sprouts. All of these things are good, ample sources of protein. And if need be, you do a protein powder while you're in the phase where you're needing to support your liver to upregulate it. Here's the foods to avoid. I'm going to just keep harping on these foods. We've got to stay away from these foods, guys. I know some of your favorite foods may be in there. Some of my old favorite foods are there too. But you know what? I've learned to make them in healthier ways. Our Vital Health Library contains many of these foods made in healthier ways. In fact, we have the recipe redos. If you've been in for a while, you can go back and watch all these old videos. And if you're not, just upgrade your membership to the annual premium membership. And so here's what we have. I mean, you got to get rid of the alcohol. There are so many people now going, oh, but it's organic wine. It's still mucking with your liver, guys. So, you know, occasionally if you have a sip of champagne at a wedding, it's probably not going to hurt you unless you're in a state where your liver is impaired. But stay away from the alcohol, the artificial colors, the flavorings. Caffeine, that's another one. There's this big push of, yeah, but eat, drink bulletproof coffee or organic coffee. You know what? Caffeine impacts the liver. It impacts phase one. It increases the speed of phase one. And if your phase two is sluggish, you're not going to do well on caffeine. Plus, it damages vessels, the lining of the digestive tract. Stay away from the processed meats, the non-organic meats, loaded with toxins and chemicals. Trans fats, refined foods, oh my God, they're so full. This is a liver hater strategy. Eating these foods are the liver hater strategies. I usually have people avoid the allergy-producing foods. Figure out what you have. Start with an elimination diet that gets rid of gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. May not be forever on some of these, but get rid of them because they're the most common. And if you're still having issues, go ahead and get rid of some more. The more your body's having to produce all these allergy byproducts and histamines and all, the more sluggish your liver is going to become. There's some herbs that can support fat digestion. We call them cholagogues in the herbal medicine realm. They function to stimulate the flow of the bile from the liver and the secretion of the bile from the gallbladder. But they also enhance detoxification and strengthen the liver. And these are some of these. These are not foods necessarily, although artichoke is, but it's really the artichoke leaf, which we usually don't eat. But these are the foods that are cholagogues, the herbs that are cholagogues, that you would more likely be taking therapeutically, either as a tincture, but if you have liver impairment, maybe not as a tincture, maybe as a solid extract, or powders that you can add, or teas that you can add to your foods. So artichoke, barberry, blue flag, boneset, dandelion root, fringe tree, gentian, golden seal, greater celandine, be careful with that one, it's a really potent one, rosemary, sage, indigo, wild yemen, yellow dock. All of these are good ones. I frequently put people on yellow dock because it's real gentle and it supports the production of minerals because it helps the body make more stomach acid, which is going to help with digestion and detoxification and help support the liver better. And it also contains a lot of iron in it. So yellow dock's a real good one. And a lot of traditional herbalists will use yellow dock with people who have skin issues that are related to detoxification issues in the liver. Here's some other the herbs. There's pictures of some of the herbs that support your detox. Milk thistle, dandelion, burdock, echinacea, artichoke, turmeric. And then other love your liver substances that you can include, the turmeric, the green tea, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, is found to be 500 milligrams twice a day. The dose may vary from person to person and from size to size, but that might be a good guideline for you. Vitamin C, making sure you have plenty of that, 1,000 milligrams twice a day. And I recommend the liposomal C for people especially that have impaired digestion. Omega-3 fats, we talked about those before. And then quality amino acids from easily digested protein, the raw greens, the sprouts, the sprouted nuts, the seeds, sprouted grains and legumes work best, raw protein powders when you need extra. I don't like people getting in the habit of always taking raw protein, but as you're healing your digestion and your liver, really important to get those amino acids. But in addition, you've got your love your liver daily activities beyond food, skin brushing and tongue cleaning, saunas and steam baths. Those are my three favorites. I have a far infrared sauna that I can sit in and actually have my head above it, and I can type and I can work in there. So sometimes I'll sit in there for an hour at a time, and really, really helpful. Tongue cleaning, I do that every morning and every night. I clean my tongue. Skin brushing, I don't do quite as regularly as I would like to, but I do it on a regular basis. Good idea to do it before you get into the shower, just to get these channels open and get the toxins out. Yoga and cleansing breath. There's all kinds of stuff you can look up with that. Detox baths, colonics, enemas. Castor oil packs can be super helpful if you're trying to cleanse your liver and love your liver. Maybe once, twice, three times a week, you just give yourself this really nice spa treatment and put a castor oil pack on or a clay pack on. Exercise you can do every day. Rebounding, burst exercising, walking, and abdominal massage. Really, all these things are daily activities or things you can include on a weekly, you know, multiple time a week basis to love your liver. And a daily schedule might be starting your morning with lemon oil and peppermint in a drink. And optionally cayenne, and that gets the circulation flowing, that gets the digestive tract flowing, plus it supplies that limonene to get the liver going. A green breakfast with chia seeds. So many people start their mornings with a high carb, you know, the toast and the cereal and all this. I find chia seeds and a green breakfast to be great. If you don't tolerate the chia seeds, then, you know, you need to work on your gut until you do, because there's something wrong if you don't tolerate the chia seeds. Usually people that get bloated have some SIBO or some dysbiosis in their gut. A green breakfast, what's that? Well, it could be a green smoothie, which is my favorite. It could be a green salad. It could be a stir fry. Anything green that you start your day with is providing your body, your liver, with all the nutrients it needs. I love heart math before each meal. Those of you who have been in this community for a while have heard me do heart math, but it's that deep breath and appreciation. And you just take 30 seconds to do that before each meal, and it helps your body to handle that better. And the less toxins for the liver to handle. Chew, 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 chew. Or if you can't chew, you have teeth problems, blend your food. I like 4 cups of brassicas every day and 2 teaspoons of ground broccoli seeds or broccoli sprouts in there. A tablespoon of ground milk thistle seeds a day can be super helpful, and you can insert that into your smoothie, or you can put it in a gomaccio, which is a seasoning. You can sprinkle it on salad, put it in soup. So many ways to do this. Greens at every meal has been a rule in my family ever since I found my way to the health regime. And that's with my kids. You know, every morning they'd have something green. Every lunch they had something green. Every dinner. Green is the mainstay. I like to think of green as the, you know, the 70% of the food plate. And then the rest of it can be the other stuff to support it. But greens are super important. And movement, rebounding or bursting or walking is super important. So if you can include these things into your daily schedule, you're going to have this amazing Love Your Liver strategy in place. And then here's just a summary of some of the support, which we went over before, but I put it all on one slide for you. And now for my Love Your Liver top 8. Avoid exposures to toxins. First and foremost, we have to reduce our toxic load. That means taking a look at your cleaning products, your hair care, your skin care. Read every label. Go to the environmental EAG.org and look up what they've found to be the least toxic products. Get rid of the stuff in packages. You can make your own. And there's a number now of clean lines of cosmetics and skin care and laundry soap, etc. High nutrient content diet, loaded with plants, high nutrient dense plants. If you're not a 100% plant food eater, then the plants still should be the mainstay of your meal, with small amounts of lean, organically grown meats. Because when you get beyond that, you're really putting a load on your system. And I definitely recommend avoiding dairy products. High fiber diet. Well, how do you get that? No, you don't need psyllium husk or Metamucil to get a high fiber diet. You just need to eat lots of plants. You need to optimize your digestion. You need to exercise, drink pure water, breathe pure air, and reduce your stress. These are my top 8. So that's it for my presentation today. I really appreciate you guys being here and listening.